Greetings and welcome back to TanakhStudy.com, the podcast program in which we study Parashat HaShavua over the course of six podcasts, broadcast during the week in which that parasha is read. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom and we are now studying the second half of Shemot together. I'm delighted to be doing so with you, and we're now in the middle of Parashat Pekudei, the final parasha in Sefer Shemot, which details the continued work of Bezalel and the artisans in furnishing everything for the Mishkan. In Parshat Vayakel, the main thrust was the construction of the structures and the kelim of the Mikdash. In Parshat Pekudei, we first heard an accounting of the donation of the precious metals, the gold, the silver, the bronze that was brought in, and then subsequently, we heard about the fashioning of the Bigdei Kehuna. In the previous podcast, we looked at the Ephod and the Choshen. And now we move on in Perek Lamed Chet, Pasuk Chaf Bet. And there's a phenomenon that I mentioned in the last podcast. We'll notice it here again. And at the end of this podcast, we'll take a couple minutes to comment on it. Because it's a phenomenon that actually takes place throughout narratives in Tanakh. And that is that we start at Pasuk Chaf Bet in the singular. Vayas, he made, and the he we assume here is Bezalel. So he made the Me'il Ha'ifod, and as we saw in Parshat Tetzaveh, there's two ways to read that. One is the Me'il, which is Me'al, it goes on top, it's an overcoat that goes over the Ephod, but that's not the case. It's Me'il Ha'ifod, it's the Me'il which the Ephod sits on. You put on the Me'il and the Ephod sits on that, and it's woven, Kalil Techelet. This one is all Techelet, all blue. And the opening, meaning the neck hole for the me'il, is made inside of it like the neck hole of a corset. Meaning it's hemmed around it so that it won't tear. In other words, instead of taking a simple thing of fabric and cutting it open, it's made that way and hemmed so that it will not tear. So at the very bottom hem of the me'il, they made rimonim, which means pomegranates, but they're obviously not pomegranates, but they're images like pomegranates, that ovoid shape. They have tchelet, argaman, and tolat shani. Again, we see something made without zahav and without sheish, just these three beautiful colors woven together into the shape of rimon. And then, and we hear, vayasu famone zahav tahor. They made bells out of pure gold. This is 24-karat gold. Vayitnu et ha'pa'amonim betoch harimonim al shulei ha'me'il saviv betoch harimonim. Here the phrase betoch harimonim shows up twice. They put the pa'amonim, the bells, inside the rimonim at the bottom of the me'il all the way around, again inside the rimonim. So now, what is the meaning of this phrase, betoch harimonim? So we saw a machloket, Rashi Rambam versus Ramban, about whether or not it means that the pamonim and rimonim alternate, and betoch harimonim means among, or whether the pamonim are inside the rimonim, and it really means inside. And that will impact on how we interpret the next verse. Pamon v'rimon, pamon v'rimon, al shulei ha'me'il saviv. So that sounds very much like Pamon then Rimon, like Rashi. Pamon then Rimon, Pamon then Rimon, and not inside. All the way around. So the Sharet, Kashet Tzivah Adonai Moshe. And this is part of the service. Evidently the sounds made as the Kohen Gadol would walk is part of the service as Hashem commanded. And again we have the flip between Vayas and Pasuk Chafbet developing to Vayasu in Chafei. And then Vayasu continues here in Chaf Zayin. Vayasu et hakotnot sheish ma'aseh oreg. The tunics, they made the tunics out of woven flax, woven linen, the Aharon ulevanav. And this is the first time we hear about a garment that is equal between Aharon and Banav, that is going to be used the same exact way, the same kind of garment for the Kohen Gadol and a regular Kohanim. V'yeta mitznefet sheish. Here we, again, like we saw in Tetzaveh, very few details about these other begadim. V'yeta mitznefet sheish. The head, the hat, the head covering. V'pa'areh migba'ot sheish. And the little design that's on top of the hats made out of linen. V'et michasei abad sheish mozar. And unlike in Tetzaveh, where the michnasayim were separated out from the rest of the begadim, and the implication there, and actually the way it was presented, was that the michnasayim, the pantaloons, as it were done really not as part of the glory of the garments, but rather to cover one's nakedness. Here, they're presented really as part of the garments. They seem to be move up a notch, and they're included with the mitznefet and with the kutonet. And now the final of the garments, which is veta avnet shesh mozar. It's a famous machloket in the Gemara about whether or not the avnet, the sash, worn by the Kohen Gadol is the same sash worn by a regular Kohen. And that has implications, for instance, when the Kohen Gadol uses his garments on Yom Kippur, he can't use them again. Can they be used by somebody else if they're the same as that which is used by a regular Kohen? Then they could, but if not, v'ta avnet shesh mozar. The avnet, the sash, is made of woven linen. So all of those colors again come into it. And now Vayasu et tzitz nezer hakodesh zahav tahor. They made the tzitz, which is the holy crown, nezer hakodesh, again of pure gold. And they wrote into it, writing with engraven, pituchei chotam. And what it said was Kodesh L'Adonai. And our tradition is it was on two lines, Kodesh, and then L'Hashem, which is Hashem's name. V'aynu alav petil techelet, latet ala mitznefet milama, kasher tziva Adonai Moshe. And they put a string of techelet on it to put it on the, above the mitznefet, on his head, just like Hashem commanded Moshe, so that the Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz, the mitznefet, and of course he's also wearing tefillin. So it's the tzitz, tefillin, and the mitznefet. So it's to be put with the mitznefet, and the p'til techelet holds it in place. That's as far as we're going to go in the text for this podcast, but we have two things to look at. One thing is something that I mentioned in the previous set at the beginning of this podcast, which is the flipping between the singular and the plural. It's a phenomenon that takes place in Tanakh often, And we have to see how it works. So the truth is it happens in three different kind of instances, and we'll see which one is our example or series of examples. One of them is when there is simply a somewhat casual, it seems, flipping between singular and plural that takes place in the text, and perhaps there is a hidden message in it. For instance, the beginning of Parshat Re'eh is Re'eh, which is in the singular, you see, Anochi noten lifnei chem, I'm giving before you all, in the plural. And that may have a hidden message of saying that Moshe speaks to the people as a single unit and also as individuals, and every person has their own perspective and their own obligation there. That's one particular way. Another particular way is something that we find when there is a group of people doing something, and yet it's described in the singular. For instance, Az Yashir Moshe Ovnei Yisrael, Yashir is in the singular, and yet it says Moshe Ovnei Yisrael. Or, Vatashar Dvora Uvarak. Or, Vatdaber Miriam V'Aharon. And in that case, the way that we understand it is that the reason it's used in the singular, or Vatashov Naami Veruta Moaviyah, Naomi returned en route, is that in every one of those cases, the person who's mentioned first is the person who's actually leading the way. Chazal tell us when it came to Shirat Hayam that Moshe did it as a responsive reading, perhaps, or as a leading reading with Bnei Yisrael. But he said it, and then they either repeated it or they responded to it in some way. So that, and the same thing with Devorah, same thing with Miriam, she was evidently the one who was speaking, and Aharon was listening in Bamidbar Yod Bet, and in all of those other examples. So that the use of the singular is very deliberate to indicate that there's one person who's leading the action, and the rest of the people are either just present, they're confirming the action, or perhaps they're even responding to it, but they're not leading it. There's yet a third way in which this happens, and that is when there is an activity undertaken by a group of people, and yet one person is leading the activity. Not leading it in the sense of doing the first step and they're following, but rather he's directing it. So, for instance, when it says that Shlomo built the Mikdash, well, Shlomo did not build the Mikdash. He had tons of workers working for him, doing all of this work. But since Shlomo was the one who directed the work, who commanded the work, who budgeted for the work, etc., therefore it's called Shlomo's house, and therefore it says Vayivan Habayit, he built the house. And that seems to be the recommended way of understanding what's going on here. Because on the one hand, Bezalel is overseeing everything, and he's in charge of everything, and that's where the buck stops, as it were. But on the other hand, reality is lots of different people are involved in the work. And therefore, for instance, in our case, it starts with Vayas at meal, and it continues to Vayasu. Now, an interesting piece about this is that if you look back at Pasuk Bet, you can see Vayas at Taifot, it starts with the singular, and then Pasuk Gimel, it's Vayirak'u. In Pasuk Dalek Tefot Asu Lo Chovrot, and in Pasuk Vav Vayasu Et Avnei HaShoham, and yet it's Vayasem Otam Al Kitfot Tefot. And then when you go to the Choshen, it's Vayas Et HaChoshen. However, when you look a little bit further, Pasuk Yod Vayim'aluvo in the plural. And then you go for, look further, in Pasuk Tetvav Vayasu Al HaChoshen Vayasu Shtei Mishpatot Zahav. And all of these are in the plural. It picks up in the singular again in Chaf Bet, and from then on it's in the plural. And, it's, and one thing I'd like to suggest is that perhaps each garment unit begins with Vayas. This is what he did. He made the ephod. And now we get descriptions of how it's made, and they did this, and they did that, and they did the other. And that will help us identify from the textual perspective what the garment units really are. The ephod is a unit, and the Choshen is a separate unit, because we see in Pasuk Ched, Vayas et HaChoshen. And yet, and the same thing with the Me'il, that's a separate unit. And yet, when we get to the Kutanot, after the Me'il, it continues in the plural, Vayasu et HaKotnot. And when it gets to the, how do you call it, when it gets to the Tzitz, Vayasu et Tzitz Nezer HaKodesh, which may help us answer a second question that I raised, which is the order here. The order as given in Parshat Tetzaveh is the Ephod, the Chosh, the Me'il, and the Tzitz. And then the Kutonet and the Mitznefet and the Avnet. And then you sanctify them. And then a separate Pasuk about the Mechasayim, as I pointed out, which is about covering up nakedness. So you first have the four extra Begadim that the Kohen Gadol wears. Then the three that are shared by Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedyot, not including Mechasayim, and Mechasayim separately. Here we have a different order. The Ephod, the Choshen, the Me'il, and then there's a break. We go with the Kutonet, and then the Mitznefet, and then the Avnet, then to the Tzitz, and then, and in the middle of that, we also had the Mechasayim, and the Mechasayim were included along with the rest. It seems that what has happened here, kind of a shift, is, and the use of the singular may help us understand, is that we identify an inherent and independent function and sanctity of the Ephod, an independent and inherent function and sanctity of the Choshen. They have to be locked together, v'lo yizach ha-choshen me'al ephod, an independent function and sanctity of the Me'il, which is kulo tchelet, and there's certainly powerful symbolism in it being all tchelet. But at that point, all of the other begadim seem to be part of that same creation. Then, therefore, we don't have a new topic sentence of vayas. We continue with vayasu for the kotnot, and then the tzitz, which now the tzitz suddenly seems to settle in as part of the regular bigdei kuna, even though it's really only worn by the Kohen Gadol. Now, what's the mystery behind this? Unclear, we'll have to leave that for another time. But it does seem that the sequencing that's going on and the use of the singular and the plural point us in that direction, that we have the Ephod as a separate unit, the Choshen as a separate unit, the Me'il as a separate unit, and then, continuing, the Me'il carries with it the Kotnot, the Mitznefet, the Avnet, the Tzitz, and the Mechasayim, and so we see that structure. And I leave it to our listenership to perhaps make suggestions as to what that may symbolize. We'll pick it up with the end of Perek Lamed Tet in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.